Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide in the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to hour number two. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our producer and engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, over on the board. It is Wednesday. Happy hump day to everyone.
Hump day!
A little delay, but it was
sorry,
there.
Sorry, it took me a second.
It was fine. It was there. It is July 26th, Wednesday, 2023. There, I get the year right. Thank you very much. Great to have Trygve Olsen on in hour number one from the Lincoln Project. And I know that it's kind of stirred some people up by looking at the comments on the Twitter and elsewhere. Feel free to text us or give us a call, 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Talking about this new report from the Lincoln Democracy Institute. Talking to 17,000 people across America and kind of oversampling in places like Wisconsin. And this is fascinating stuff. And yes, it is disturbing. But if you look at this report in its entirety, and we're posting it on our link on our page, right, Mr. Zommers?
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, that's already posted. The link that's in there is just the link to the Lincoln Democracy Institute website, which is LincolnDemocracyInstitute.us. But right there is the full report, which is 69 pages. Well, there's cover pages and stuff. Right. It's a little shorter than that. Or the summary.
And I encourage people to read both. The full report is I don't want to say it's tough to get through, but it's a lot of nuanced numbers and how they came to these conclusions. But it's important. And it scared me. It honestly did. By reading this, because you realize democracy truly is at stake in 2024. And then what happens after the election matters as, or even not more so than the election itself. I'm reading a book right now, holding it up for the cameras here. It's called The Big Truth by CBS political, I believe he's now the chief political correspondent for CBS News, Major Garrett, and David Becker. Upholding democracy in the age of the big lie. Of course, the big lie meaning that what Trump said, that the 2020 election was stolen. It was not. And if you read The Big Truth, you understand how well the 2020 election was run and how absolutely it was free and fair. And so what Trygve suggests in this report and this analyst based on talking to 17,000 Americans is that we are at risk as a country of whichever person wins in whichever party in 2024, that the other side may not accept that, and we are on a collision course to potential violence in 2025, even greater than January 6th. Let's go to the lines. Mark in the sack, always appreciate you listening, my friend. Appreciate you holding through the break. Mark in the sack to kick us off on hour number two.
Yeah, not a problem. And part of the problem is, I think, is that I think that, you know, Joe Biden and the Democrats have been in a lot of cases, they've been reticent to really go after the people that committed the acts on January 6th, as well as the pre-planning and the, as some of that fruit is finally coming home to roost that with the prosecutions of the fake electors thing. But I mean that, there's been a lot of, I'm searching for the word right now, but there's been a hesitation to really go after the people, hammer and tong, that as severely as I think they really deserve, because they let these people off the hook in some cases. And I think in letting them off the hook to this point right now has just emboldened them. I mean, because Ron Johnson they haven't abandoned their lies on that the last election was free and fair. In 2020, the election was free and fair. They continue to hammer on that, say, it wasn't free and fair. And now they've got a whole cadre, a whole section of the American public, you know, probably even more than on January, you know, prior to January 6th, believing that nonsense. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that you know, the fact that Ron Johnson isn't in a jail cell right now is part of the problem. I mean, the problem that Scott Fitzgerald isn't sitting in a jail cell is not a problem. The bread that, you know, that Bob Spindell is not sitting in a jail cell. I mean, that these guys committed a crime against the country itself. They betrayed their oaths and they're part of a nationwide conspiracy to do this. And the fact that, you know, now they can say, well, you know, that they just keep on, you know, parroting the same points. Well, it wasn't a fair election. How much did Wisconsin pay out for Michael Gableman to run around the state, you know, promoting the, you know, pushing the big lie? Now
I think $2 million or something. Right.
Yeah. How much did the state have to pay for Michael Gableman to go flitting out to California to testify on the behalf of Eastman, who is, you know, another criminal in this whole thing?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is just how long are we supposed to suck it up and just say, well, you know, we'll just turn the other cheek and turn the other cheek and turn the other two cheeks and we go back to the first two cheeks again?
Let me ask you this, Mark. We had about 30 seconds here. I want to get your opinion because I respect it. Let's say, God forbid, the Republican wins the 2024 election. Would you, as a voter, be willing to say, well, that's what the election said? Would you accept that?
Have to, but I mean then you protest when they try to overturn democracy itself. Mm-hmm. Because none of them are condemning Donald Trump, saying that he is going to do all this nonsense.
Yeah, I agree. Mark, thank you so much. Great call, great opinions. Back with more of your calls, 844-967-2789 after this on the other side of the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Feel free to call in, join us on the show, also text in. You can go download the Civic Media app, go to your favorite app store on either iPhone or Android, and download that. It is free, takes less than a minute, and you can text us as well. Talking about this report, we kind of broke the news. As a matter of fact, Trigvi is going to be on, Trigvi Olson from the Lincoln Project. Morning Joe, MSNBC's Morning Joe, has reached out. He's going to be on Morning Joe, but he has come to Civic Media first. And we appreciate that with these findings and this number. Let's go to the text line. First of all, WAUK in Milwaukee. Somebody listening on AUK, the Shaw down in Waukesha, saying, look, Todd, what evidence does he, I guess meaning Trigvi, have that Democrats would pull something like Trump did on January 6th? Honestly, man. What Trigvi's saying is it's not suggesting that Democratic Party leaders would do something like this. But remember, they talked to 17,000 people, Americans, registered voters, all right? So this is not like, you know, a political poll where they might, you know, pull anywhere from 400 to 1,400 people. That's usually what a lot of these polls are done. National polls, sometimes you might get a couple of thousand. But this is 17,000 Americans. Let me give you there's all kinds of facts in here if you read it. On those people who identify as Republicans, saying that they're number one, asking them basically, what is your greatest fear in terms of politics? Republicans say, 74% of Republicans say, corrupt or incompetent people being elected or appointed to high positions in government. 74% of Republicans say that's their greatest political fear. 73% of Democrats say their greatest fear, corrupt or incompetent people being elected or appointed to high positions in government. And if you go through this report, look at this, the point that Trigvi is making, if you actually listen to Americans, a 45-minute interview with them, you will find that they both fear the other side immensely. And you, I would say, I would say, I certainly think that there is a greater, more just reason that people on the Democratic side would fear somebody like Trump or DeSantis. But also, you have to realize that there are voters who vote Republican who fear Democrats. And it what Trigby's saying is that fear on both sides, combined with the fuel of not believing in the election process, can then ignite violence. That's the argument he's making. And it's not even an argument. It's a warning for people to say, look, we have to be able to trust in our election process, and we have to be able to realize that not everyone, we're talking about your neighbors. Take out the candidates for a second. Take out the political, you know, the Wisconsin Republican Party or the Wisconsin, or the, pardon me, the National Republican Party, or the same thing, the Democrats. Take out the parties. Look at your neighbor across the street. We have to quit fearing our neighbors and be able to at least find common ground in our communities so that we trust in our election process so that we can move forward as a country. That's kind of the 30,000-foot level here.
And that, I think, that's one thing that I'm really grappling with, that I want to read this report and see what I think then. Because finding common ground is difficult to impossible when the person you're finding common ground with lives in an alternate reality. So what I mean by that is Nazis, for example. You don't let them speak their piece and say, that's fine, or that is a take you could have. Here's what I think. You say, no, get down off that pedestal. You don't get to talk. You are actually evil.
But I think you're taking it.
And, well, no, wait.
You're taking it extreme.
I'm taking it. It is at extremes. And Nazis believe in the extermination of certain people, including like people like DeSantis believing in the extermination of LGBTQ folks. Mm. And I think that that is something we can equate, maybe not equate, but compare. And that is a group of people who are just people. They're just living. And to what point are we responsible for other people not acknowledging that other people exist? It's the kind of thing like, where is the line where we're being intolerant versus standing up for what's right and putting our foot down?
But I think, again, you're taking it to the extreme, and you're confusing what Trigby is saying. He's saying simply that after talking to 17,000 Americans, that the fear, whether it's perceived or real, is there on both sides, and that then can endanger our trust in the election process. No one's saying that we shouldn't call out Nazis. No one's saying that we shouldn't call out people of hate groups. It's simply saying that we have to acknowledge that the fear, right, perceived or not, is there on both sides. 844-967-2789. Let's go to the phones. Wisco Paul, thanks for listening and tuning in as always. What say you?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Todd. It's a great, I'm going to have to read this because it's pretty cool. And thanks for bringing this to my attention. As somebody that considers themselves center left, I talked to both sides of the political spectrum, and there are some people their mind is made up no matter what, they're going to vote GOP or Democrat. Mm. But what's very troubling to me, some of the stuff goes back to when Dale Schultz was in power, and they were talking about busloads and busloads of people coming up from Illinois to vote in Milwaukee, and that just wasn't true. And so if you look at the voting in the state of Wisconsin, it's pretty much squeaky clean. I mean, and for the most part, the Trump people, Gableman and Voss, most of their voting fraud was Dan County or Milwaukee County. Mm-hmm. So, but it's very troubling to me because one of the things that makes this country we live in great is we're like the shining light, if I will, mm-hmm. For democracy all over the world. And heaven forbid if something happens to us, I don't know. But I can't predict the future, but when people's minds are made up where no matter what the facts are on either side, they can't come to the truth, that is a very scary thing. So thanks for bringing this to light. And I'm going to read this because it's very interesting to me. Thanks. Hey. Todd, you got a great show, by the way.
Wisco Paul, appreciate you listening. Great call, and I don't have to repeat it. What he just said, that's exactly what the whole point of this thing. Great call by Wisco Paul. Also, let's go to the text line here. Mark in the Sack says, quote, to be fair, there are a handful of Republicans that have called Trump out for his lies and have paid a price for it. Adam Kinzinger, of course, of Illinois, and Liz Cheney among them, but too few and far between. Many who condemned the attack on January 6th have done a 180 and no longer condemn it. Some continue to condone it and participate in the attack by uprisings as it was happening. Totally agree with that. Totally agree. That even those Republicans who condemned January 6th have now basically are trying to defend some of these people in court, and that's a dangerous thing. What do you think about this report? We're talking about the Lincoln Democracy Institute showing what lies ahead in 2024 and this danger of neither side accepting the results if their candidate doesn't win in 2024 and what it could mean for the fate of democracy moving forward. 844-967-2789, 844-967-2789. Let's go to Karina in Milwaukee. Karina, always appreciate you listening and calling in. Karina, what say you?
Hi, guys. Well, it is really interesting, and this is something what bothers me as well, because for me, it is a definition of bureaucracy and corruption. That the fact that somebody committed a treason because they wanted to reverse democratic process. Mm. And one of them is our Michael, what is his name?
Michael Gableman?
I forgot.
Yeah.
Michael Roach.
Go ahead.
What is his last name? Oh my God, I'm going blank. I'm sorry.
It happens to me too sometimes.
The fact is that he participated in a whole shebang, and after that, he was capable of putting himself into a race and beating Mandela, and this is a corruption. This is where we're going. This is scary. Mm. And I absolutely agree with that, because this is the scariest part, that you actually see that person committing all these crimes and continue being one of the government and representation of a people, which is not. Please show me who he's represent, the rich people. Then they are so, there is such a huge degree of separation. They don't understand. If they thinking about and calculating the support less fortunate people out of $60,000 at the medium income for Wisconsin family, I don't know which land they're living on. Because there is a statistic. You can look at the statistic. You don't need to believe anybody. You don't need to ask anyone. There is a statistic, and it's the easiest statistic to read that I believe sixth grader can do it.
Okay, so, Karina, appreciate the call. Thank you so much, Karina, in Milwaukee. Always appreciate listening. Want to get to Mike in Sheboygan before we take the break. Mike in Sheboygan, what say you?
I say I'm with the man from Manitowoc on this one, Mr. Aaron Sommers. I have a bad taste of. I know what you're trying to get at, Todd, and I appreciate your attempt to explain it from that perspective. But this doesn't take the taste of false equivalency out of my mouth, or the both sides do it thing. If you go to any bar up here in Sheboygan, you're going to feel the hatred of all things Democratic is totally palpable. And that's because someone's feeding it, either with disinformation, malinformation, or misinformation, or they're just asking questions like Mr. Rojo does. Mm-hmm. And they're raising all of those doubts. And just to suggest even that, yes, we have to take into account they're scared, they're fearful. No, I'm going to go further. They're downright hateful, and they'll take us out. I'm telling you, once I hit the pavement, I don't think anybody up here is going to be crying root beer for me because they want us gone. And that's the way, you know, we're marching inexorably towards a civil war by which fascism shall win. And I said this to Dominic and Crute 5 years ago when I was highly unpopular. I said so to Tom Hartman 4 years ago in Germany, was highly unpopular, and now everybody seems to be getting it. I hope you're right, Todd. I just think Mr. Sommers is closer to the truth.
I really appreciate the call, Mike. I really do. Let me ask, we're running out of time. Let me ask you this. If your candidate doesn't win in 2024, would you personally be willing to accept the results?
I did last time.
Okay. Well, there you go. I'm with you. I mean, in 2016, I voted for Hillary Rodham Clinton, and the other guy won. I had to accept it. But thanks. really appreciate the call. Thank you so very much. Stay with us. More of your calls after this on the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Show on the Civic Media Radio Network, along with Mr. Aaron Sommer, our producer and engineer. It is now 2:33. Glad to have you along. 844-967-2789 is the number to join us at. That's 844-967-2789. Or better yet, download the Civic Media app on your Apple or Android device. There's a button there just to press. It'll call in. You could also send a text as well. Before we go back to the phones quickly, this report that we're talking about today being premiered right here. This is the first place major media that the Lincoln Project has come to, and we appreciate that. The Lincoln Democracy Institute surveyed 17,000 plus people across America with a special focus on states like Wisconsin. A 45-minute plus interview, all kinds of questions. And this might make some of the more progressive folks who are listening a little bit happier. Part of this report, and we've posted it online, you can look at it yourself. It's lengthy. Part of it's entitled Extremism and the Media Ecosystems, the Three News Ecosystems of American Politics. And I quote the report. Three distinct news ecosystems have emerged in American politics. One, the traditional media ecosystem. Two, the Fox News ecosystem. And three, the new right media ecosystem. The traditional media ecosystem serves the primary news source for center and left-leaning Americans. In contrast, the Fox News ecosystem has played a significant role in fueling political extremism by normalizing and demonizing the political left. This ecosystem operates on a business model that capitalizes on distress, simplistic answers, overconfidence, and intolerance. However, Fox News now faces competition from the emerging new right media ecosystem, which takes extremism to new heights.
Like Alex Jones.
Yes. This ecosystem fully embraces the need, network, and narrative of radicalization, further amplifying division and polarization in American politics. What say you? 844-967-2789. Again, 844-967-2789. Let's go to Jack in Merrimack, one of my favorite callers. Jack, always appreciate you calling in. What say you?
Well, first of all, there is no equivalency between the information that is being put out by the Republicans and the Democrats. The Republicans basically are saying, besides many other things, all these elections that we're losing, these are fraudulent elections, fraudulent results. There is no evidence for that whatsoever. On the other hand, the Democrats are saying, watch out for these Republicans, because there is a significant direction of fascism that they're going into. And you can see clear evidence for that. Yeah, all you have to do is look at what DeSantis has done down in Florida. Mm. And, of course, there is the little detail that, and this was mentioned earlier, the Republican Party currently, for the most part, takes one of a few approaches to the physical violence that happened January 6th. One of those approaches is, oh, it's no big deal. Another one of those approaches is, well, it was just a normal tourist visit. Another one of the approaches is, oh, these guys are patriots. Right. In addition, not one single leader in the Republican Party, I say leadership now, not some of the people that are Republicans like those in the Lincoln Project, but I'm talking about the current Republican leadership and major political figures like Ron Johnson, for example. Not one single one of them has addressed the attempt at foisting fraudulent electors upon the Congress that also nearly happened on January 6th. And that, to me, is the most dangerous situation. If we don't address that, then it can easily happen again, and it could be, with a different vice president, for example, successful.
Right. Jack, nothing you just said I disagree with. I'm with you on everything you just said. I think with this, and we just read before you took your call there, that this report from the Lincoln Democracy Institute is pointing out that the extremism, particularly on the media side, certainly is 10 times, not 100 times worse on the Republican or conservative or mega side than it is on the progressive left, and that the lies are coming from the right. The report acknowledges that. And I think that the part of this report, though, is simply saying that we as Americans, regardless of party, have to be cognizant that both sides are afraid and essentially of the same thing, but for different reasons. And how do we as a country navigate past that so that whomever wins in the 2024 election, that we as Americans can have faith in that election and move forward as democracy? And I'm not saying I have the answers on that. I'm just saying that the Lincoln Project, Lincoln Democracy Institute, has raised that question after listening to 17,000 Americans, and I think it's a good discussion to have.
It certainly is. I would contend that the most important and most necessary thing is to address what happened on January 6th, because that was nearly an overthrow of our government. Once we get beyond that, then we can deal with the other stuff.
Totally agree.
That is the most dangerous thing. I mean, that's the closest we have come since the Civil War, and that's 160 years ago to losing our republic.
Totally agree. Jack and Merrimack, appreciate you listening. Always a great call, my friend. Thank you so very much. Appreciate you. 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Let's go back to the home county out in Richland County, where I'm headed tonight. Bev in Richland Center, what say you?
This is fascinating, Todd. It correlates with some research I've recently done on the paradox of tolerance, which was introduced by Karl Popper back in 1945. And if you'll allow, let me read a little bit of what he says. He says, unlimited tolerance must lead to the disappearance of tolerance. Wow. If we extend unlimited tolerance even to those who are intolerant, if we are not prepared to defend a tolerant society against the onslaught of the intolerant, then the tolerant will be destroyed and tolerance with them.
Wow.
I'm finding this stuff fascinating. Now,
No, go ahead.
He goes on to talk about how to deal with intolerance a little bit more. He says, I do not imply, for instance, that we should always suppress the utterance of intolerant philosophies as long as we can counter them by rational argument and keep them in check by public opinion. But we should claim the right to suppress them, if necessary, even by force, for it may easily turn out that they are not prepared to meet us on the level of rational argument, but begin by denouncing all argument. They may forbid their followers to listen to rational argument because it is deceptive, and teach them to answer arguments by the use of their fists or pistols. We should therefore claim, in the name of tolerance, the right not to tolerate the intolerant.
That's really great stuff. I want to have you hold the line after we get done on the air, because I want you to give Mr. Zommers that author of that book, because I want to get that, because that's really getting at the heart of some of this, right, Bev? Is because we have to have a certain level of tolerance. That doesn't mean we forego democracy. It doesn't mean that we don't call out hate, but we have to have some level of tolerance if we are to be willing to accept the next election to preserve democracy.
But we also have to be willing to exert some force to stop the intolerant if that's putting our democracy in danger. Now the paradox becomes, what force is that?
Right.
And where I have landed at the moment is the only force that the tolerant can tolerate is the rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
And the ballot box.
100%.
Meeting the intolerant with violence is not a place we can go. And that fits with what a number of your callers have said when you said, would you accept the election? They say, well, yeah, I did. I have.
Right.
We don't have an option.
Right. Fantastic call, Bev. Absolutely fantastic. You hit it out of the ballpark, as you always do. Bev, Richland Center, really appreciate you listening. Might see you tonight, hopefully, at the Patriotic Millionaires in Richland Center. We're going to get to that in a second, but I want to finish up the call line on the north side of Milwaukee. Let's go to the phones.
Madison.
North side of Madison, pardon me. Todd or Billy, go ahead.
Hey, Todd, thanks for talking to me. I find that the decision in that reporting to be odd and a little bit hard to understand. Okay, so you've got three categories, one being Fox, one being crazier than Fox, and then lumping everything else together, Devil Radio in the same category as PBS, in the same category as CNN, NBC, CBS, which are reality-based, but, you know, still beholden to corporate masters. And that seems strange to me, that division.
I guess I'm not quite sure where you're going, Billy. Lumping civic media in with CBS, you find odd, you're saying?
Yeah, it just seems like you're dividing up they are dividing up the media into kind of throwing everything that's normal, so to speak, in one group, and then dividing the conservative craziness into two separate groups. That just seems very strange to me. I don't know what the point is, but it just seems strange that why wouldn't you differentiate a little bit more and explain that. I don't know.
I think it's a great question, a great call, Billy. I appreciate it. I would say be listening next Wednesday, because we'll make a note of that, and we're going to get more into the media side of this next week in this report when Trigvy comes on. So I can't speak for Trigvy. I can't speak for the report, because I didn't do it. I'm just here to tell you what's in it and try to help understand it, and we'll ask Trigvy that question next week. All right, Billy, thank you so much. I appreciate you listening on the north side of Madison. We're going to switch gears a little bit and welcome in, fresh off the tarmac, as a matter of fact, our next guest, and we appreciate her making the trip in so very much. We have Kat Hadley here. She is from Patriotic Millionaires. There is another event tonight in my hometown, Southwest Wisconsin, where WRCO and WRCE have their homes. We are playing out on RCE as we speak. For the Patriotic Millionaires, Kat Hadley, how the heck are you?
Well, it's been a fun day.
she says sarcastically.
Yeah, I had a wonderful delay. So Todd got some really good frantic emails from me being like, I swear I'm coming, but I'm stuck on this plane.
Well, we appreciate you making the trip in. Yeah. Let's get right to the point. So you've been doing this project. We had you on before talking about the Patriotic Millionaires. You and Erica Payne, and who else is in town tonight?
Tonight, Sarah Anderson from the Institute for Policy Studies is in.
And you're talking about money. And one of the cool things about the last time, I think, is when you said, look, here's what we're not going to talk about. And you listed off all the social and cultural stuff, and the temperature in the room went down about 100 degrees. Mm-hmm. Because you're here to talk about money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's all. You know, really, this program is focusing on giving people our view of the economic system and how it works. And, you know, we do have a theory that if the economy got better for everybody, a lot of that tension would be released. But we're not really in the room to talk about any other issue. You know, we're really streamlined on building a better economy. And so tonight, Sarah Anderson from the Institute for Policy Studies is going to be in. She focuses on her research right now on CEO pay disparity. So it's going to be a really interesting meeting. It's a she does a really beautiful thing within it where she talks about her her grandfather's small business and what it meant for these corporations to grow and grow and grow and what that meant for like a shrinking local economy. So it's really interesting how she ties it all in, and it'll be a really fun meeting tonight.
We're going to come back and talk just a little bit more about this meeting, give folks some details. And we're also going to sneak in our friend Alice Schneiderman with a little coffee with Alice about Atwood Fest happening here in Madison. So from Richland Center to Madison, all points in between, don't go anywhere. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Tallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is Alice's restaurant in our Toyota green room. It is Alice Schneider. We actually have a green room now. There she is. Fantastic person that she is. We have to get an actual sponsor name for the green room now. I don't know. We'll work on that. It is 10 minutes before the hour of 3 o'clock. That is 10 minutes before Matt Flynn Direct. Great program, great show, great host. I am the unofficial president of the Matt Flynn Club, fan club. Great guy. I not only am I informed by Matt Flynn, he gives me a chuckle. Because the thing is, Matt doesn't take himself too seriously. And that makes me laugh as well. Great show, great program, great host, Matt Flynn Direct, coming up at the top of the hour at 4 o'clock. It is Crudy and Dom. Both are in the building today. Remember, it's never personal, only politics. The Devil's Advocates from 4 until 6. At 6 o'clock, Maggie Dawn and Rick Smith Across America at 8. And then at 10 o'clock, it is Robert Pilot and Native Roots Radio. Right now, from Patriotic Millionaires, it is Kat Hadley. And Kat, tell us, to make sure people in Richland Center in Southwest Wisconsin understand this, everybody who was at the first event a couple weeks ago got quote-unquote chosen to be at this event and are eligible if they want to come tonight for the $50 if they stay.
Yep, absolutely. We had a survey go out at our first meeting, and a lot of those emails, I think, got misinterpreted. And so we're going to have to check in with people to make sure we're all on the same page. But if somebody was at the meet and greet, they're accepted in the program. And tonight I'll have more applications for people that want to join. And so how the program works is you come, you fill out a survey, you become a member of the Great Economy Project, and you're paid $50 for each session. So we do it at the end of the program. You get a big check from us in the mail. And I'll have all the forms there tonight for anybody that wants to sign up. And you know, if you want to just come and check out the program and not necessarily apply, that's also okay. Our meetings are always open to anybody, but we're trying to make sure that the people that are coming each time to really learn about the economy, the way we're viewing it, we're respecting their time by giving them the stipend.
And to be clear, this is not polarizing political thing. You're not Republican, you're not Democrat. It's simply to inform people about money and taxation and how by changing the tax code, all of our lives can be better, and give people, just summarize, what are we working towards here? What's the point of this program, and what do you hope to get out of it at the end?
What we really hope to get out of it at the end is informed citizens, right? So people that maybe see things the way that we're seeing them, but also people that want to take action. You know, so we do these 5 different sessions. We bring in different experts to talk about stuff like CEO pay, the power of the minimum wage, the tax system. And the hope is at the end, you know, when we say, okay, do you want to do anything about this, that people do want to. We ran a pilot in North Carolina, and what that's looked like is that we took a busload of participants up to Raleigh, and they're talking to lawmakers about their minimum wage. But, you know, that's our hope, is that people will see this, they'll get fired up, and they'll want to do something. And it's really critical for this issue and this topic that it's all people, not just one party over the other. It has to be all of us working on this.
If people live in Southwest Wisconsin, in particular Richland Center, doors open at 5, a great dinner by Dewey and the crew at 5:30. Program starts at 6, and it's at the Phoenix Center, right in the middle of Richland Center on Orange Street.
Yep.
Fantastic. I'll see you there tonight.
Yep, I'll be there.
Can't wait. Thanks Kat so Hadley from Patriotic Millionaires, thank you so much for making all the effort to get here from the airport today. And now she's got to trek out with us out to Southwest Wisconsin tonight.
That's right. See you soon. Right.
Thank you very much, Kat Hadley from Patriotic Millionaires. We'll have more on our website as well. And now, by the magic of radio, we pass the headsets to the one, the only, the talented, the phenomenal, you cannot have enough adjectives, Alice Schneiderman. It is time for Coffee with Alice.
Wow, this is such an honor. I cannot believe that I'm going to be in the studio before my husband is here because he's right? not here for like another week and a half. So I get to break it in, Shakianu.
How about that? I'm with all the confusion here, I'm sorry we don't have more time with you today. But tell people, number one, I could just sit here and have a beverage with you and chat all day because you're a phenomenal person.
Well, thank
but,
you.
Well, of course. But you also are here to promote Atwood Fest 2023.
Yes, Atwood Fest 2023. It is the 43rd year of this local bringing together people, food, music, and fun. It is a fundraiser for three entities: the Wilmar Center, the Barrymore Theater, which is a historic theater in Madison, and also the Sassy, which is a Shank Atwood Starkweather Creek neighborhood.
Now, if you're listening across Wisconsin, you're not from the Dane County or Madison. Atwood is a neighborhood in Madison. Everybody's welcome. There's no cover charge, right?
No, it's completely free to the public. It starts at the Shanks Corners area of Eastside Madison, which is kind of where Williamson Street and Atwood Avenue come together, and it goes all the way through to the Barrymore Theater, kind of where like Monona Drive and Atwood Avenue come together, Monty's Blue Plate. So they close the street down for the entire weekend, Saturday to Sunday, and there's vendors, there's food, there's music, there's kids activities. It's just where everybody comes together, everybody's having a great time, they're dancing, they're having fun. It's just, to me, it's the best weekend of the summer.
I think so, too. It's a great time to have by all. Gail Ambrosius Chocolates is down there. I'm a big fan of Gail Ambrosius.
Absolutely. She's my favorite. The chocolate caramels are my personal favorites.
I know, right?
Yes.
Because they have like real little salt crystals on top.
Yes, you can pick them up. You can pick them up at Gail Ambrosia, and they're a nice little, I'm going to grab a 4-pack for a gift for a girlfriend. Or, you know, they're just, I know their quality. They're local. They're good chocolate. That's what I love about Madison. We've got these great people that love Madison, that love what we have going on, that support local music. Not every community is like that, you know, and local music is important, and they're great.
Speaking of local music, your fine partner in life and crime, your wonderful husband, Rocker, one of the hosts of Max Inc. Radio right here on the Civic Media Radio Network every Saturday from 6 until midnight, involved as well with some great tunes.
Yeah, he is. He's been the music director for 20 years. So our son was born in 2002, and that was the first year I was pregnant, and I'll never forget it. I was out there doing my thing, you know, big belly and all. And then my kids grew up at Atwood Fest, you know, and it's been a family affair. My mom and dad have been involved. My brother's been involved. My in-laws have been involved. Mama Rocker's made meatballs and pasta for everybody for 15, 17 years. So I lost track. I mean, you know, she passed the golden spatula to me now. And I mean, we have a lot of fun. It's a family affair. Yeah. Rocker's been booking the bands for 20 years. And every year the festival gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And it's really the bands. It's really the musicians. That's the draw.
It was really just sort of particular genre of music?
No, there's pretty much everything. You'll find a little bit of country, a little bit of blues, a little bit of rock and roll. I mean, a little bit of everything. Singer, songwriter. We've got it all. Funk? A lot of horns. You will see a lot of horns at Atwood Fest, which to me is, it really raises the level. I hear a horn, I just start boogieing.
Right? Who doesn't?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can't stand still. It's just, to me, it's go sun up to sundown all weekend. It's party, party, party.
You're the best. Whenever I'm around Alice, I just smile.
Oh, thanks, Todd. Yeah. I appreciate you too as well. I'm glad to be here.
Always, and we're going to continue. We'll have more coffees with Alice as the days and weeks move on here, so there'll be more opportunities. But the Atwood Fest this Saturday and Sunday?
Yes, both days. Noon till 9 p.m., both days. Starts with a convergence. Mm-hmm. They start with, go through the neighborhood with a drum line and some music. Yeah, and they kind of go through the neighborhood, snake around, then they meet up. It's called convergence. So that's how they start the festival.
Here's what I know. If you want to have just a groovy time, if you want to feel good about yourself, hang out with Alice Schneiderman. She's fantastic.
Thank you, Todd.
Alice, thank you very much.
Always
great to
pleasure.
Have coffee with Alice. Atwood Fest this weekend in Madison, starting at noon on both Saturday and Sunday. We thank Trigby Olson from the Lincoln Project and also Kat Hadley from the Patriotic Millionaires. Great guests, as well as Alice Schneiderman and our producer-engineer, Mr. Aaron Zommers. Of course, thank you for listening. Stay tuned now as Matt Flynn is next. Matt Flynn Direct. We'll see you tomorrow. Remember, keep banging your drum.